Thank you for listening to the SSPX podcast, delivering the spoken word, lectures, and sermons from across the English-speaking world. To hear this and more episodes, or for more information, simply search SSPX on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. In this episode, Father Stephen McDonald delivers a sermon on the fifth Sunday after Easter, discussing how at times our faith may be empty without prayer and good works. From Our Lady of Sorrows Church in Phoenix, recorded on May 6th, 2018.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, Reverend Brothers, my dear faithful, as we continue our preparation for the beautiful feast of the Ascension and Pentecost, the Church gives us very practical lessons on how to live a holy life, how to live a Christian life. We have, of course, been given very profound privileges in being called to the divine life, being called to live the life of Christ in our daily duties, in our practice of our religion. But with those privileges, of course, come certain obligations, things that we must truly do to persevere in the faith, things that we must truly do to please God, things that we need to live a Christian life. We are given two such needs in today's liturgy. In the epistle of St. James, we are told of the need for good works, that it is not enough simply to believe, but that we must also do. So firstly, we have to do good works. It's a need that we have, that our faith is empty, is meaningless without these good works. And then secondly, in today's gospel, our Lord himself tells us of the need for prayer. If we're going to live the Christian life, we need to perform good works and we need to pray. This is how we will live a truly Christian life. And so firstly, we consider the need for good works. St. James, so very practical. He stresses a life of virtue, a virtuous living of our faith. As I said, he tells us, faith without works is dead. It is empty, it is meaningless. If our faith does not move us to live a virtuous life, if it does not move us to do good, then our faith is nothing. It's mere words. It's empty. It's shallow. It's superficial. We often say that actions speak louder than words. We are to serve God by our actions. As a true Christian, then, we should move our faith into good works. But because St. James is so practical, he does not leave us in this theoretical realm. I must do good. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean for a Christian to put his faith into good works? St. James says it's three things especially. If we're going to do good, if we're going to put our faith into good works, firstly, it means that we must curb our tongue. We must bridle our tongue. This means that, of course, as a follower of Christ, we should never offend others by our speech. It means that we must never use unfitting language. It means that we should never fall into the sin of gossip, speaking evil or ill of our neighbor. It means that we do not engage in overcritical speech with regards to our neighbor. It means that we do not talebear, that we do not spread rumors in order to falsely accuse or to hurt other people's reputation. It means that we always speak as if we are in the presence of God, never using the vulgarity of this world, but instead always uplifting our neighbor through our speech, through our good actions. The true follower of Christ will always be on the lookout about regarding sins of the tongue, will try to always bridle his tongue. And if he cannot say something good or positive about someone, he will say nothing. He will pray for them, he will make sacrifices for them, but he will not offend against his neighbor through the gift of speech. Secondly, St. James says this need for good works, putting faith into action, means that the true follower of Christ will practice mercy. We'll have compassion for the sorrows of others. We'll have compassion for the sufferings of others. We'll look for ways to alleviate the sufferings of others. And so he will visit those who are in need. He will visit those who are struggling. He will forgive his neighbor for the offenses committed against him. He will always seek to be a vehicle of mercy, a vehicle of forgiveness, a vehicle of Christ-like charity. And then finally, St. James says that putting our faith into good works means that we must keep ourselves unspotted from the spirit of the world. And this is something, of course, we talk about time and time again. We are to live in the world, but not be of the world. That we do not allow the world to corrupt us, to infect us. And so a true follower of Christ who wishes to be perfect, who truly wishes to put his faith into action, will constantly be checking himself. Am I allowing the world to encroach upon me? Have I begun to make compromises with the spirit of the world? Have I given up my first fervor, my first love? And have I allowed very deviously the world to enter back into the spirit of my heart? We must instead always look to the higher things, must always keep our gaze focused on heaven, never forgetting that we are destined for an eternal life. We are destined for a share in the divine life. And that though we live in this world, we must transverse through this world as pilgrims, as strangers, as St. Peter would tell us. And so the true follower of Christ must put his faith into action. He must be a performer of good works. And very practically, very simply, this means we curb our tongue, we practice mercy, and we avoid the spirit of the world. Secondly, our Lord himself tells us in today's gospel that the true follower of Christ needs to pray, needs prayer in his daily life. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. And up to this point, you have not asked me as you ought. You've not asked me with that sense of abandonment, that trust and confidence. All too often, when we do pray, we ask, and then we simply wait for our prayer to be answered. We simply wait for to get everything that we want, forgetting that God knows everything, forgetting that God knows exactly what we need, forgetting that sometimes we are praying and God is answering our prayer, but not in the manner that we think. He's answering it in a far more perfect manner, a far more glorious manner. He's answering in a way that will be so much more beneficial to us than we ever imagined. We simply have to pray and trust and have confidence, and our Lord does the rest. But as a follower of Christ, we must pray. We must be men and women of prayer. We might ask ourselves, why should we pray? What is prayer? Sometimes it's good for us to simply remind ourselves of that general principle of what is prayer. St. Thomas Aquinas defines it very simply as a raising of the mind and heart to God. Why? In order to praise him and to ask for all those things we need in order to be saved. It's so beautiful and so simple. We pray, which means we raise our mind and heart to God in order to praise him first and foremost. God is the object of our prayer. First and foremost, he is why we pray, because we want to unite ourselves to him. We want to praise him. We want to reverence him. We want to adore him. And then secondly, yes, we pray in order to receive all those things that we need. But we never forget that God knows better than we do what we need. God knows better than we do what we need in order to be saved. And so we pray in a spirit of trust, in a spirit of simplicity, in a spirit of peace, and then we allow God to do the rest. We need to pray. We have a strict dependence upon God. We must never forget He is our Creator. He is our Lord. He is our Master. We are creatures. We need God for everything. We belong to God. He is our one. He is our all. And therefore, even though God doesn't need our prayer to give grace, He expects us to pray. He wishes us to pray. And we must put ourselves in the proper disposition through prayer to receive the graces that God wishes to give us. In fact, we might say there's a twofold theological foundation for the need for prayer. The actual economy of grace calls for prayer. There is a religious foundation for the need for praying. We owe God our prayers. We owe God our reverence. We owe God our service. We owe God our praise. And therefore, we must pray. It's our very life, our very foundation. And of course, according to a very human motive, we pray because we need God for everything. In order to do any good, we need to pray to God. We are incapable of good without Him. And so we pray to God to save our souls. We pray to God to practice virtue. We pray to God to overcome temptation. We pray to God for this or that material blessing. Whatever it may be, we have to turn to God because we are in complete dependence upon God. But what's more, because we are called to share in the divine life, we pray because we want to be united to God. For the follower of Christ, the time that we spend in prayer should be the most glorious moments of our day. They should be the times that we look forward to. They should be the times that we find the greatest satisfaction, the greatest sense of accomplishment. Those moments of quiet prayer where we can be alone with our Creator, alone with our Lord, our Master, our Savior. Those should be the moments that we treasure the most. For the true follower of Christ, who is a man, a woman of prayer, we find the greatest delight in these moments alone with our Lord. And so we pray because we need to. So we pray because we want to. So we pray because we ought to. We pray because God commands us, ask and you shall receive. We pray because our Lord offers this treasure to us, this union with Him. Because we are sons and daughters of God, we stay united to our Lord through prayer. And so, my dear faithful, our Lord has commanded us, has encouraged us to pray. Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened, seek and you shall find. Through his apostle, St. James, he has also taught us the need for good works, that if we're going to be followers of Christ, we must learn to bridle our tongue, we must learn to show mercy, and we must learn to avoid the spirit of the world. This is how we will prepare for the Feast of the Ascension, the Feast of Pentecost. This is how we will learn to be perfect Christians, living the Christian life. By practicing the need for good works, by practicing the need for prayer. And in all of this, of course, we turn to the example of our Blessed Mother, she who we will crown today as the queen of our parish, the queen of our families, the queen of our hearts. She is the perfect model, the perfect example of a life of good works in action, of a life of prayer. Let us turn to our Blessed Mother throughout this month of May and ask her to give us the same spirit she had, a desire to put our faith into act, a desire to spend moments alone with God Almighty. Let us ask Our Lady to make of us men and women of good works, men and women of a spirit of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and rate the podcast so that more people can hear the beauty and truth of traditional Catholicism. For more news, resources, and updates, you can visit the U.S. District website at sspx.org or the English News website of the Society at fsspx.news.